Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, managers, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And, well, we'd hope to have a guest this hour. In fact, we were going to be talking about the mental health screening, but apparently we're simply getting the answering machine, so we may very well not have our regularly scheduled guest, in which event it'll be just you and me. So we will take your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295 until we do have a guest. So I was just thinking this afternoon, you know, one of the things that which should be so obvious to people is that if they're lying to us about anything, if the government is lying to us intentionally about anything, can we believe anything we are being told? Now, let's get into the background of the tragic murder of a man named Nicholas Berg. And what do we know about Nicholas Berg? Well, we know that he had gone to school in this country. We know that he lived for a time in Norman, Oklahoma. And, of course, it was in Norman, Oklahoma, where a man named Zacharias Massawi was going to the Airman Flight School in Norman, trying to learn how to fly. And Zacharias really wasn't very smart. Zacharias couldn't learn how to fly a single-engine plane, because I talked to the owner of the Airman Flight School in Norman, and she told me that he was such a disaster when it comes to flying a plane that they simply told him that they weren't going to take any more of his money. He was incapable of learning how to fly, and you got to be pretty dumb not to be able to learn how to fly, because you go up with a flight instructor and you go over these things again and again and again until you feel comfortable, and then one day the flight instructor jumps out of the plane and says, "You're on your own." And you have that horrible empty feeling, but you take the plane up and it's just ingrained in you. Well, Zacharias Massawi couldn't learn how to fly. But the strange thing about the time he was in Norman, Oklahoma, was that Nicholas Berg was there at that time. And on Zacharias Massawi's email or a computer was the secret password for Nicholas Berg's email site. Now, does that bother you at all, that Zacharias Massawi and Nicholas Berg happen to know one another? What do you think the chances are that that simply happened by accident? Or is it possible that we're not getting the truth about who Nicholas Berg really was? So then we are told that Nicholas Berg was involved in some sort of a company that had to do with cell phones. And so here in the middle of the war in Iraq, and believe me, the war did not end when we said it ended, why, Nicholas Berg goes over to Iraq to try to sell cell phones. Now, how many antennas do you think he's going to be able to put up in Iraq so he can sell cell phones? Do you honestly believe the official government story? Who was Nicholas Berg? Where was he getting his money to go to Iraq and to stay there for a long period of time? And then he was apparently arrested by the Iraqi government, who turned him over to the American government. And then the next thing we know, why, he's in the hands of the terrorists and he's been decapitated. And this was shortly after the confrontation, or I should say the exposure of what was happening at the Abu Ghraib prison came about. And the question is, are we getting the true story of the murder of Nicholas Berg? Who was he? What was his relationship to the Islamic terrorists here in the United States? Why was he over in Iraq? And who killed Nicholas Berg? We're going to be right back, but we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please give us a call at 1, because we don't have a regularly scheduled guest, and so it's going to be just you and me this afternoon. But I opened up my program talking about Nicholas Berg. You'll remember he was the gentleman who was supposedly executed over in Iraq by the wicked Islamic terrorists. And, of course, this came up just immediately after the public release, the government released, for some incredible reason, they released these previously classified pictures that they had of the torture by American troops being against the Iraqi prisoners there. Most of them who were not members of Al-Qaeda, they were simply people picked up for curfew violations or picked up for speeding or something, and they were tortured. In fact, one of them was the head of the Iraqi Air Force who turned himself in because, after all, they said all we want to do, the military was promised, all we want to do is get rid of Saddam Hussein. We're not going to disband the army. We're not going to go after you because you're simply doing your job. And so the head of the Air Force turned himself in, and they tortured him to death there at Abu Ghraib. Why? And of course, nobody's been punished for any of these things. Oh, probably a few people will get a slap on the wrist. Maybe a few of them will go to prison. But I think the people really responsible for killing the head of the Iraqi Air Force, why would you torture to death the head of the Air Force? Was he a war criminal, or was he like our military officers, just doing his job? Well, let's get, of course, a little bit to Mr. Berg. Mr. Berg was living in Norman, Oklahoma, where Zacharias Massui, the 20th bomber, the 20th member of the terrorist team, at least we're told he was the 20th hijacker, was living. And somehow the two of them met. Now, what are the chances you think that simply happened by accident? In fact, on Zacharias Massui's computer, laptop computer, was the Nicholas Berg's password to get into his email site. Are we being really told the truth? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we were just talking about, of course, Nicholas Berg. And then the most amazing thing, we know that he was arrested by the Iraqi police after having been there for many months, moving around trying to set up his cell phone business. Now, how many people, first of all, do you think were over in Iraq trying to sell cell phones to the people in this war-ravaged country? Is there something wrong with this story? How would he have flown into Iraq? Can you just go down to your local airport and say, I'd like to get a ticket, I want to fly to Iraq? And of course, you can't do that. You're not allowed to go into Iraq unless you have a reason to be there. We don't allow people just to sort of go in there spontaneously. Did he come in by camel? Did he come in on donkeyback? We don't know how he got there. We don't know how he traveled around. We do know that the Iraqi police arrested him, and then he was turned over to the American authorities. And then supposedly the Americans released him. He was immediately picked up by those wicked Islamic terrorists. He was put into an orange jumpsuit. Now, you remember the pictures we've seen of Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols when they were arrested for the Oklahoma City bombing? What were they wearing? An orange jumpsuit. And then, of course, you remember the pictures of the prisoners at Abu Ghraib prison. What were they wearing? Orange jumpsuits. Now, how many Islamic terrorist groups do you think over in Iraq just keep a few orange jumpsuits around in case they happen to arrest an American prisoner? Let me ask you, are you going to think about what you're seeing? You saw it on the television screens. Are you going to believe your lying eyes? Are you going to believe the government story that those fellas wearing the face masks were, of course, members of an Islamic terrorist team headed by, and I've forgotten what his name is, Zawahiri or something of this sort. And, of course, this was published on supposedly an Islamic terrorist website. And then they tell us who the man was behind this. Why bother to wear hoods if you're going to give the names of the people who are doing the killing? Is there anything wrong with this picture? Is it possible we're not being told the truth? As you remember, of course, the story that came out after the 911 attack, that a passport fluttered to the ground from the North Tower after this plane that contained one of the hijackers there. All of the hijackers, we're told, were aboard. But the passport of one of the hijackers somehow got out of his pocket, got out of the flaming wreckage, got out of the flaming inferno that was there on the floors of the World Trade Center. The inferno was so hot it was able to actually melt the steel supports of the World Trade Center. And then that passport just flutters to the ground, completely unharmed, completely intact, really no problems with it at all, and lands on the sidewalk two works blocks away from the World Trade Center. Now, what are the chances that happened by accident? A passerby sees the passport and, of course, gives it to a New York City detective, and that's how, of course, the 911 commission ended up with the passport. And, of course, almost the same thing happened at the Pennsylvania crash site. Now, either that story is true or it's falsified. Would you agree that? Now, if it is true, what are the chances that this is a true story? If it is falsified, it means that somebody was trying to create the impression in our mind that these people were on the plane, and maybe they were on the plane. But if they were on the plane, the government knew ahead of time and forged the passport ahead of time and planted those passports to verify their story about what happened that morning. That's a terrible thing to think of. And I would just simply say, maybe the story is true, but what are the chances? If you were gambling on that, what do you think the chances of the story are really true? What are the chances that the story about Nicholas Berg just happening to running into the 20th hijacker when he was in Oklahoma, at Norman, Oklahoma, where Zacharias Moussaoui was training to be a pilot? Of course, he couldn't learn to be a pilot. He was incapable of learning to be a pilot, and they refunded his money and told him that they wouldn't train him any longer. And then he goes up to Minneapolis and makes some stupid statement that drew everybody's attention to him, almost as if it were on orders. And then, of course, when he's taken to trial, the government refuses to progress with the trial. Why? Well, of course, Zacharias Moussaoui claims he was watched from the moment he came into this country. He was constantly watched by the FBI. You can find that up on the Internet if you want the verification of that. See, he said the FBI was watching him. Is that really true? Were they watching all of the hijackers? You'll certainly want to get our July newsletter if you haven't, because we verify everything we say, and we can tell you where you can go to get the information. There is some conjecture, but most of it is facts that are readily available to you and readily available to anybody who wants to look beyond the veil of secrecy. But right now we've got Harry calling us from Michigan. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, because, well, our regularly scheduled guest didn't show up. So, hi, Harry. How are you doing?
Doing very well, and how are you today?
I'm doing fine. Well as you can be when you suddenly got a program with nothing to say and an hour to go. So, tell me, what would you like to talk about?
Well, you were doing just fine. It sounds like you could go on with no problem. actually, a two-part thing I'd like to throw at you.
All right.
You know, I was talking with another, I don't talk that often to people on the shortwave, but I called someone yesterday, a Christian man, I don't doubt that, but I told him that, you know, I didn't like George Bush, because he seems to like George Bush, and I said, you know, I really don't like him. And he said, give me one reason. And I said, well, you know, a simple reason is this illegal immigration. I said, we're fighting a war over in another, you know, country that's really an ungodly war, no matter how you cut it. I says, we can't even protect our own borders, and people are being harassed here in their own homes that live near these borders, like Cochise County. And I said, you know, this guy, President Bush, with a simple executive order, I says, they throw those around like crazy. Why not sign an executive order to immediately protect our borders? And then he went on to say, and this is, see, I can't always defend this. And he went on to say that, well, listen, and that you got all these attorneys left over from the Janet Reno era, and they're basically tying the hands, this Justice Department is tying the hands of John Ashcroft and George Bush from doing anything. And then I ran out of time on his show. And I was saying to myself, that just doesn't make sense.
Of course it doesn't make any sense, but you have to have some sort of an explanation to give when you're a talk show host and you know, you don't want to admit that you're wrong. Now, if they wanted to get rid of these attorneys, they could fire them, they could promote them, they could retire them, they could do anything they wanted to. They could give them an opportunity of continuing to work for the government up in Cochise County in Arizona or something like that, transfer them down there, you know, with no food or water for a while, and they'd probably quit their jobs. The real reason is that they have no intention of closing the borders because there is a globalist policy, and of course we intend to do away with all borders here in the Western Hemisphere and unite the Western Hemisphere exactly as they have in Europe. But there are an awful lot of good Christian talk show hosts who cannot see the big picture. I don't criticize them. Some of my best friends are incapable of understanding what's going on today, and they are stereotype Republicans, and if the Republicans say it's all right, doesn't matter how wrong it is, they're going to defend it, and that's wrong. I've been a Republican all my life. I can no longer support the principles that are being followed today. I believe in the Republican Party. I believe in the policies that they have held. But the leaders of the Republican Party are not dedicated to maintaining American sovereignty. They're not dedicated to small government. They're not against socialism. They certainly are dedicated to globalism. And now, of course, we've embarked on a series of international wars, which eventually will result, I believe, in the economic and perhaps total destruction of America.
Well, you know, you turned a little segue there into my quick second question.
Okay.
And that was, as he was talking, I listened to a show again today, and he was talking about the futility of voting for, like, a libertarian or a constitutional person, party, because he cited a case, and I forgot, I couldn't remember the name of the state, where a senator lost because people jumped on board with the libertarians, I believe it was. It was such a close vote that this good Republican lost. He says, why would you vote for, you know, these might be good people, the libertarians and the constitutionalists. He says, there's no way they can win. They're trying to join in the big dance. He says, they should start at the local and state level and then work their way up. He said, don't waste your vote at this time on them people.
Now, what did you answer him?
Well, I heard the show. I didn't call.
Well, you know the answer to that. Why would you waste your vote on two people from opposite parties who are going exactly the same direction? Now, I'm talking about the presidential election.
Right.
Because there would be a time when I would vote for a Republican senator or a Republican congressman if he really adhered to constitutional principles. But if he's going to be in there, you know, actually pushing the socialist agenda like so many Republicans are, or maybe even doesn't believe in it, but he's willing to compromise his principles because he wants to get reelected, then he's not fit to serve. So I think you have to certainly be very selective in your vote at the state level. Here in the state of California, I'm glad there is a Republican opposition because it's keeping the Democrats from voting us into insolvency. But as far as the two presidential candidates, and I think you have to separate the presidents from the other, both George Bush and John Kerry are totally dedicated to globalism. They're both dedicated to certainly making the illegal aliens legal. They're both dedicated to uniting the Western Hemisphere. They're both going to continue this war. They're both dedicated to big government, to socialized medicine, to socialized education. And I don't think there's a dime's worth of difference between them, other than they keep talking about how our current administration is pro-life. But if it is pro-life, why did we rejoin UNESCO? Why did, for instance, George Bush give William Pryor a interim appointment to the 4th or 7th Circuit as a judge on the way to the White House? Pryor is the one who sandbagged Judge Roy Moore.
Right.
Now, why are most of the federal candidates that George Bush is nominating for federal benches, lower benches across the country, pro-choice? Well, oh, we've got to do that because Democrats wouldn't let any pro-life people in there. Well, see, it's funny, when the Democrats are in power, why we always go along, because we say we've got to have judges, and it's the president's prerogative. When, of course, the Republicans have power, they always give in to the Democrats. I would say, why waste your vote? Do you want to hang on till we're through this break?
No, thank you so much for your time.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Okay, we'll be with Daryl and the others in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Israel?
ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 on the way down of the Eastern Coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-MORE, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working with the Oklahoma City bombing. And this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you a more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-MORE now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. 4,000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. 9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a regularly scheduled guest, for one reason or another, is not with us. And so let's go to Daryl calling from Pennsylvania. Then we have Ben from Salinas, and we've got a couple of lines open. So if you'd like to call in, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Hi, Daryl. Did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, Dr. Stan, you made a couple really good points on your last or previous show about the Arab and Muslim world, and I'd like to elaborate just a little bit on both of those points.
Did you live in the Arab or Muslim world?
No, sir, but I speak a number of Arabic dialects. I worked 20 years in the military intelligence in both the Air Force and Army, part of that time against the Middle East, and I worked at a top Department of Defense intelligence agency for 6 years after I retired from the military.
All right, go ahead.
So, number one, you said that There were outside forces that were very powerful people outside of the Muslim world that are funding militant Islam to keep the Middle East pot stirred up. And the comment I wanted to make on that was amen, and also that most people in the world, Dr. Stan, whether they're Muslims, Christians, Jews, or Buddhists, do not want to kill other people and do not want to be killed themselves or have their family members killed. And I sponsored numerous Muslim officers that when I was at the Army Intelligence Center and School at Fort Huachuca, mostly Egyptian, but some Saudi, some Tunisian. And Dr. Stan, every single one of them liked the American people a lot. I don't know if the same would be true today after all we've done in the Middle East, but they didn't care too much for our government because they thought our government would not, it was not a good ally because we had abandoned the Shah of Iran, we had abandoned South Vietnamese, but they loved the American people to a man. And the second point that you made, Dr. Stan, was why not pull the U.S. troops out of Iraq and let them have three separate regions or nations there? And, of course, you have the Kurds who are up in the north. You have the Sunni Arabs who are mostly in the central part of the country. And then you have the Shiite Arabs who are in the southern part of the country. And as you well know, Dr. Stan, the British and to some extent the French drew artificial boundaries in that area. After World War I, they sort of divided the Middle East up. And they're, as I said, they're artificial boundaries. They don't fit the people of the lands there. And the Kurds themselves have been promised by the British and I think even the Americans their own little homeland up there in northern Iraq and parts of other countries in that area, and which those promises were never fulfilled.
And we're lying to them as if we lied. In fact, we have this wonderful book written back in about 1920. It's called Confessions of a Reformer. It was written by a radical leftist, and he was actually in favor of the First World War. He was actually asked by Colonel House and Woodrow Wilson to go to over to Paris, and then he was going to go through all of the treaties so he could advise the Woodrow Wilson about the Holy Land. And you know, he really believed in treaties. He believed he could justify the First World War because Germany had attacked Belgium, and Belgium had a treaty with England. Now, this is 1920, but 1919, I guess. But actually, the treaty had been signed in 1875. But, of course, Frederick Howe, who writes the book, says treaties are so important. And then he finds out that, first of all, the British had signed a treaty with the Arabs, promising them Palestine. Then they signed a treaty with the French, promising them Palestine. Then they signed a treaty with the Israelis or with the Jews, promising them Palestine. And he suddenly realized that they were lying. Everything was a lie. And that he gave up being a reformer and went off to raise cabbages or something of the sort. Fascinating story, but you're absolutely right. They designed the Middle East so it would be nothing but a seething cauldron of problems.
And as you know, Dr. Stan, Kuwait really is historically part of southern Iraq. And, of course, April Glaspie gave Saddam Hussein the green light to invade. There's just been so many betrayals in that area, and I'd just like to close with one final comment, Dr. Stan, the same one I made on the previous hour when I called in. And your latest catalog, your August 2004, is almost a little book in itself, and there's just so many great informational tools about our MIA POWs, about the Vietnam War, about aspartame. I don't know a subject that you don't cover, Dr. Stan, that's important. So I would urge everyone to call 800-544-8927 and ask for their latest August 2004 catalog. Go through it, read it, and order a bunch of materials from Dr. Stan. And Dr. Stan, a big thank you to you and Barbara and all the dedicated folks at Radio Liberty and for all the great guests that you have on there. You do a great job.
Well, thank you so very much, Daryl. And let me just point out that if you read the staff report of the 9/11 Commission, none of this got in their final report, but you go to Part 16, page 19, you will find out that by certainly the summer of 2001, everybody in the Middle East knew the attack was coming on America, and the Taliban didn't want that, and the leaders of Al-Qaeda, most of them were totally against attacking America. They didn't hate us at all. Contrary to everything you've been told, they did not hate us. And our government knew that. But the leaders, the project for the neoconservatives who control our government, wanted a war. They got one. An awful lot of people have died unnecessarily.
God bless you, Dr.
Bye-bye. We
have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, what really happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, what really happened.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, that we've lost almost 30-40% of the value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Okay, we'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Ben from Salinas. Hi, Ben. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, sir. First of all, as one lettuce-picking Mexican here in Salinas, California, I have to salute your last caller from where was it? He was from the other side of the country.
He's from Pennsylvania. That's
yes.
Darryl Wright.
That gentleman, see, he spent a life knowing and living the truth and seeing the truth. And the reason I'll answer the gentleman, another good American as he seems to me, it has nothing to do with Kerry or Bush. Is there in the Sunnis and the Kurds and the Shiites, the reason we don't want to give them each their portions of the country, because it flies in the face of the PNAC people, the neo-fascists who are in control in Washington now, and it flies in the face of them wanting to put all the control of the oil assets in control of the Texas oil billionaire for lunch bunch. And in the radios on the all of the campaigning they're doing for presidency, I hear Limbaugh and the Savage Sissy and all these people crying about Kerry. Okay, I say this to all of those people, sir, who don't want to hear anything bad about Mr. Bush. And Mr. Bush is not just a problem, but shortly I'd like to say this. Let Kerry talk about his 4 months in Vietnam, and let Bush talk about his 4 months with the Louisiana National Guard, and who is unfit for duty.
Okay.
Now, the reason that we have to... The idea is not to removing a gentleman named George W. Bush out of Texas from the White House. It's because we got to get rid of Ashcroft, Condoleezza Rice, Colin Powell, Tommy Thompson. We can't let this kind of a person appoint a new CIA head, because there should be a jurisdictional balance of powers where the jurisdiction can go after anybody in there, and also the new super czar they want to create, they have to be able to protect the Constitution and we the people who pay their salaries against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And the key point is, remember, the next president is very likely going to appoint almost maybe 3 Supreme Court justices. Now, they want to appoint,
Gonzalez?
No, they want to appoint, what's his name, head of the Supreme Court, not Scalia, but the other one.
You're talking about Clarence Thomas.
Yeah, they're considering appointing Clarence Thomas, the least qualified of all of them, to be the Supreme Court, the head of the Supreme Court. And I suspect if they're given a chance, guess who's going to get that vacancy?
Okay,
John Ashcroft.
All right, fine.
And they've also said that they suspect an upcoming assassination so they can declare martial law or declare red and blue and purpley twinkly little terror lights, that there might be assassination of a very important person. You know what? If I were George Tenet, because you know what he knows and what he knows and what he knows, they can't afford to have him talk. I would be a very nervous man.
All right, fine.
And Americans need to ask. In this 9/11 Don't Ask, Don't Tell Commission, why are the American people so willing to accept the status quo of Bush and Cheney not being sworn into testimony and telling we the people what they know?
Ben, I think you've made some point.
They did it to Clinton over a BJ, my good man.
Well, Ben, I'm not arguing with you, except that I don't like either candidate. I don't like Mr. Kerry. I don't like Mr. Bush. But, hey, look, thank you so very much.
We must clean house, sir.
God bless you.
That's why Kerry's the man. God bless you, sir.
Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, that was Ben calling from Salinas, and he feels very, very deeply about this. If you're out there in the listening audience, would like to give us a call, or our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And right now we've got Herman calling from Carmel. Hi, how are you doing, Herman?
Very good. I heard a comment on another radio program that suggested that Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is possibly being groomed to become a future president. And at first I thought, well, that's not possible because he is foreign-born. And then I remembered that almost exactly 70 years ago, another man became head of state of a country he had not been born in.
Now you're talking about
he just happened to be from Austria, and his name was Adolf Hitler.
Well, you know they've already introduced a constitutional amendment, Orrin Hatch has, just by coincidence, which would allow, of course, Arnold or some other foreign-born person to become our president. You wonder what would have motivated Orrin Hatch, other than the fact that maybe he has been told by the people who really run things behind the scenes that there are some people who think that Arnold Schwarzenegger might make an excellent president. In fact, before he was selected to run for the governorship of our state, he was taken to England by Warren Buffett, the second richest man in the world. At least that's what they tell us. He really isn't. Of course, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds are far richer, but they have to tell the American people that to keep them bamboozled. But Warren Buffett took Arnold over to England to meet with Lord Rothschild. I've seen pictures of the meeting. 3 men smiling like the cats just ate the canary. So, but you may very well be right. I think that there's a powerful, powerful force behind Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is about as conservative as, Barbara Streisand. And if you look and see, he put in a far larger budget than Gray Davis ever thought of putting in. He is not cutting. He's making a lot of talk. He's saying the right things, but continuing the same things and not cutting back on big government. He's simply borrowing money. He's borrowing, I think, $15 billion last year and $6 billion this year to try to balance. And we're not balancing the budget. Our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren will be paying off the debts. Either that, or they'll destroy the dollar and rob the bondholders and then, of course, start in all over again. But certainly we do not have a conservative administration in Sacramento, despite the fact that most Republicans, good people, would like to believe that Arnold is what he purports to be. He's really not.
Well, the other thing I'd like to mention to your listeners, most of whom probably are not business owners, I do have a small business, and I've seen my worker comp rates for my employees go from 11 to 12% over the last 4 years, up to 23.8% this last year. And then I received a letter this spring saying it's good news, we've passed this worker comp reform. However, until all the figures are in, we can't make any adjustments. And by the way, you're going to have an increase this year, that's this month, summer, August, up to almost 29%, because this was from figures for last year.
Well, of course, the thing is, what they're doing is driving the prices up so that you, people won't be able to, industrialists or companies won't be able to remain here in California. They're going to have to pull out. And of course, they have a special high prices for electricity. We have, of course, all the other taxes and regulation expenses, which is simply driving countries, companies out of the state of California.
Well, something else I'd ask your listeners to look at as they drive around town, and the Wall Street Journal article the other day backed this up, and that is that many employers are holding off hiring extra workers that they genuinely need because of the high cost of worker comp and other things.
Well, of course,
when your service goes down in various businesses, that is one of the reasons why that's happening.
Well, of course, what a lot of companies are doing is simply putting people on part-time work. That way they don't have to provide health insurance for them any sort of a pension. So there are no benefits that come. And you'll find many of our banks, for instance, are just hiring people 30 hours a week and more people. And so what you're seeing is an organized effort to cut back on the salaries paid to our people and lowering our living standards. Legislation is just passed in Washington, D.C., that are going to cut out overtime pay for people. In other words, ordinarily you get time and a half or even double time if you're asked to work more than 40 hours. And now they have federal legislation that is going to limit that. Of course, the federal government says, oh, this is hardly going to apply to anybody. Actually, it's going to apply to just about everybody. There are only a very, very few people who will not be impacted by that. And this is all part of a planned program to lower the living standards. And you can only understand what's happening if you read the master plan. It's the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report. Came out of the Second Earth Summit, put together by the wealthiest men in the world on the yacht Britannia of Prince Charles before the Second Earth Summit meeting. And anybody who would like to read that, it's called the Global Biodiversity Assessment. It's 1,142 pages, published by Cambridge University Press. However, if you'd like the abridged form, we have that in our Sustainable Development Syllabus. That's a Sustainable Development Syllabus where you can actually read the abbreviated form. It's about 40 pages. It'll give you the whole flavor of what this is about. They hate Christians. They hate Jews. They hate Muslims, and of course that's why they want to get us fighting one another, but they want to lower our living standards. As it says, if we're going to maintain 6 billion people in the world, their living standards will have to decrease to that of the Eastern European. Well, what they're talking is peasant status. In Eastern Europe, people make $50 or $60 a month, and he got a living. And that is what is happening here, but they're doing it very slowly, very subtly. And of course, with inflation, people won't even realize what's happened. Until they've been impoverished, too.
Correct, Doctor. And one final thing, I'd like to encourage your listeners to get a copy. The first copy is free of Dr. Stan's newsletter. He's not paying me to do this, but it's a wonderful newsletter, many pages long. He spends a great amount of time each month researching it and thinking and praying about what to write about. And you call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and I don't know what the numbers are.
544-8927.
Please do it. The first issue is free, and it's a great, great thing. And then share it with your friends and so forth.
Well, thank you so much, Herman.
Okay.
July newsletter tells you what really happened on the morning of September 11th. There is actually, within the government's own records, within the hearings of the 911 commission, the smoking gun that tells you what really happened. But, of course, it's totally ignored by the 911 commission in their report, totally ignored by everybody, by the media, Nobody ever wants to comment on this because it would be too embarrassing for the American people to realize that they were monitoring the plane that came in to hit the Pentagon. They were watching it, and there were orders. Well, you'll have to read the newsletter. We'll be glad to send you a free copy. This is not what I say. This is from the testimony. You can find it on the Internet. You can go to their website, the Senate, the 911 Commission website, and we can actually direct you exactly where to go to get the information. Because how could you suppress something like this? That they were monitoring the plane, watching it come in, and there were orders not to stop it? Why, of course, you control the media. And if you control the media, you can control what the American people think. Is there anything else you want to say, Herman?
Yes. In the latest cutting-edge newsletter, the man, he says, in U.S. Army intelligence, I was trained that the truth most often lies in the exact opposite direction of the public rhetoric. You must learn this technique if you are to successfully glean the truth from news reports. In order to arrive at the truth, one had to develop opposite direction thinking. In other words, truth in many situations, especially strategic planning, was to be found in the opposite direction of the public rhetoric. During a build-up to war, for example, public rhetoric will speak of peace and treaties. A corollary to this dictum is that when you see leaders who have obviously been building for war start talking peace, you know that the outbreak of war is probably imminent. During the time of the ruthless communist dictatorship in Russia, the savvy people collectively came to the conclusion that they could not believe a word of any of the part of the mass media, since censors controlled every sentence of every article. Over time, the knowledgeable Russian came to the conclusion that the truth of every issue actually lay in the exact opposite of what they were being told. Thus, in the guise of fighting terror in order to preserve our freedoms, our Illuminist leaders are planning to take those freedoms away. Yeah. Only in this vein can we properly understand the strange sight of heavily armed military, paramilitary, and police forces patrolling our streets. End of quote.
Well, of course, David Bay is a good friend and does great work, and of course he was with military intelligence and is quite well aware of the spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged. Anything else you want to say, Herman?
Well, that's it.
God bless
you.
Thanks so much for calling.
Bye.
And let me just comment that they are preparing for a war with Iran. Now, how do I know that? Well, you go onto the Internet, and I certainly follow the material that's put out by Frank Gaffney. Who is Frank Gaffney? Well, he is one of the original 25 members of the Project for the New American Century, and he has a website. And, of course, he then is telling you the propaganda that the people from the Project for the New American Century, the vast majority who come from the Council on Foreign Relations, they're the little group of 25 people who drew us into the war that we're engaged in now. Everybody planned this war long before the 9/11 attack. And those of you who heard our interview yesterday with Stefan, who actually been worked in Washington, D.C. for 30 years, I believe it was Stefan Huffer. Why, Stefan talked about the neoconservatives. Well, this is the PNAC group. But Frank Gaffney is telling you about how terrible Iran is, how Iran's threatening to attack Israel, how Iran is preparing for war. And, of course, everything is being done to get the American people prepared for that. There's another gentleman, and I won't give his name, but I will tell you he is one of the major architects of our foreign policy. He keeps writing about the coming war with Iran. Watch the newspapers. Hear about how terrible Iran is. Now, I have no question Iran is terrible and the mullahs are terrible, but everybody's forgotten who brought them to power. Who brought the Ayatollah Khomeini and the radical Islamic movement to power? Why? Your CIA. Your CIA toppled the Shah of Iran in 1979 and brought the wicked Ayatollah Khomeini to power. And I remember looking back at that time and thinking to myself, why in heaven's name would of the American CIA topple the Shah of Iran, who was our friend, was our ally, he had the sixth strongest military in the world, he was a bulwark against the spread of communism into the Middle East, why would we topple him by undercutting him, by having the CIA go in and foster demonstrations and then cutting off military aid to him and demanding that he release all the criminals in jail, which only created more chaos in his country, and then order him to leave the next day. Well, that's what we did with Batista in Cuba, so we could bring Fidel Castro to power. What we did with Somoza in Nicaragua, so we could bring the Sandinista to power. In each instance, creating the best enemy that the CIA could possibly produce, because you have to have an enemy. And you go back and you read what Plato wrote 2,350 years ago. When the tyrant has defeated the enemy by conquest or by treaty, and there is nothing to fear. Then, of course, he's always stirring up a new war so that people will need a leader. You can find that quotation in Barthet's Quotations by Plato. That's exactly what we do. And now, of course, we have the enemy in Iran. They have nuclear weapons. Of course, they're helping, getting help from our friends, the Chinese communists, from the Russian communists. Oh, I forgot. Communism is dead. We've won the Cold War. Or did we? Or maybe nothing as it appears to be. Perhaps everything is simply smoke and mirrors. We'll be back here in just a moment to complete this program at Radio Liberty. This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future, are under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just suggest that if you have never gotten our four-tape set entitled The New Order of the Barbarians, you really need to. It is the most incredible tape set, and one of the few tapes we have a transcript of. Three of the interviews are with Dr. Dinigan, who is a pediatrician practicing in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, before we practiced there for 20 or more years, and of course, the interviews are done by Randy Engel. And Randy Engel is a pro-lifer who, of course, had come across Dr. Dinigan, and he told the story that in 1969 he heard a member of the inner core of this whole world conspiracy. His name was Dr. Richard Day, and he was the medical director of Planned Parenthood. And he told a group of doctors exactly what was planned, how they were, well, there are too many people in the world, we're going to have to kill large numbers off, we're going to create new diseases. Now, of course, it was just 3 months later that Dr. MacArthur went before the Appropriations Committee for the military and asked for $10 million to create a new disease that could be used for mass genocide. And he said, well, the only reason that we haven't gone ahead, there are certain thoughts about this that, well, there are some people who feel this is wrong to create something that would be just another method of mass killing. But they gave him the $10 million, and about 6 years later, the first cases of AIDS developed. We didn't recognize the disease in 1976, but it was there, and it just so happened that most of them were people who took vaccinations for hepatitis B. And most of them were homosexuals. Well, you need to get the four-tape set entitled The New Order of the Barbarians, if you can get the transcript. If you'd like that testimony of Dr. MacArthur, we'll provide that for you free of charge. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. The testimony by Dr. MacArthur before the Armed Forces Committee. Give us a call now. Find out if it's true. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time I have to remind you once again that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will, of course, decide you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, because that's our primary means of support by which we're able to raise the funds to be on the radio 5 hours a day and reaching out across America by shortwave, 4 hours a day, and satellite, 4 hours, soon to be 5 hours a day, and of course radio somewhere in America, 5 hours a day, and radio, internet, 5 hours a day. If you want to listen to our internet programs or get others to listen, go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and become part of our team, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of my July newsletter, which tells you the smoking gun that was in the committee report, the 911 commission hearings, but never in the report, because we would not the American people to know what really happened on September 11th. It's in my July newsletter. We'll be glad to send you a copy free. Of course, I'll have to admit, we hope you'll want to subscribe, but if you don't, we're glad to get it into your hands. We hope you'll copy it and help us to get the information out. We have a lot of people out there who really don't have the funds, and we understand that, but if you possibly can, we'd appreciate your support. We want to remind you, we're going to be having a all-day conference on the 6th of November at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, and if you're living in this area or anywhere across the America or really throughout the world, we've had at past conferences people came from Germany and elsewhere to the conference, and this is a good date, the 6th of November. It's a Saturday. It'll be all day long. There'll be lunch served, and we're bringing in outside speakers. We hope that you'll want to come. But you're going to have to call and make a reservation, 1-800-544-8927, because we have to know how many for lunch, and, well, it's an expensive proposition to put these on, but it's fun. You'll meet people from all across America who believe, as we do, and that there's a real problem and recognize the spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged. Now, if you want more information about the spiritual aspect of this, why, let me suggest some of the videos we talked about last hour with Carol Matriciano, her video certainly going into the background of the spiritual warfare, and of course it's called Supernatural Powers, the battle between the war between good and evil. Her video on Harry Potter, her video on certainly on the gods of entertainment, and of course all of these are listed in our catalog, and many more things. You'll want to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or the video of The Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to have that information, because it's all documented, not from what I say, but from what they say. And there have been a few people from the other side have come forward to explain it all. Professor Quigley was certainly associated closely with the elite who run America. He even talks about, on page 950 of his book, which was suppressed for so many years, the book Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World of Our Time. He talks on page 950 about how he had had the opportunity to go through the secret files of this secret movement he talks about. And then on page 951 and 952, he talks about the Council on Foreign Relations. And, you know, Condoleezza Rice comes from there, and Dick Cheney, and Colin Powell, and how this was a front for a secret society. And that is the Round Table Group, which came out of England, at front for J.P. Morgan and the Round Table Group. The Council on Foreign Relations is America's invisible government. John Kerry belongs. George Bush is surrounded by people from the CFR. They control both political parties. They control the media. They control the great corporations. They control the banking. They control America. Is it simply by accident that every chairman of the Federal Reserve System since 1953 has come from the membership roles of the Council on Foreign Relations? Did that happen just by accident? Well, of course, pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please remember to pray for Radio Liberty. For our provision and our protection, once again, our number 1-800-544-8927, our website, radioliberty.com. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.